have one, there should be one in front of you. And returning into the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 24. And continuing with abiding in the fellowship. Abiding in the fellowship. You see to my left and my right, a variety of different words ending in ship. The second from the top there is fellowship. And that is the topic that we are on currently. And this is the last part of a three-part message. Luke chapter 24, I'm going to start reading in verse number 13, and I'll have you join in a little bit further down. Everybody at Luke 24, say amen.
Amen.
Anybody need a few more moments, say, oh me. No oh me's, no oh my's. All right. And so Luke 24, verse 13 starts off and it says, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 70 furlongs. Now, what's going on here is the first day after the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's already appeared to the women, appeared to Peter, and now he is appearing to two of them walking away from Jerusalem, going back home on their own road to the village of Emmaus. Verse number 14 says, and they walked talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass, while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Now, we don't understand or know why that happened, but we do know it happened. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as you walk and are sad? One of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them, which were with us, went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said. But him they saw not. And then skip down to verse number 31 and the 32. And I want you to read those verses with me. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? You're going to find two things that happen in verses 31 and 32 that's going to be the topic of our message today as we talk about the development of our fellowship. The development of our fellowship. Verse 31, their eyes were opened. And then verse 32, he says towards the end, while he opened to us the scriptures. Their eyes had to be open, but they had to be open to the word of God. And that was a key element in their fellowship. One of the keys to your fellowship with the Lord and with my fellowship with the Lord is making sure that we are open to God during times of distress and discouragement. Those are some of the hardest times to keep fellowship with God. We're wondering where he's at, what is he doing, and why is he doing it? We can't figure things out. And that's where these disciples are at. The ladies have already gone and found not his body. Peter went and found not the body. These two are there, and they're saying, hey, we heard these reports, and we went, but we didn't see him. And oftentimes when you don't see the Lord, your fellowship gets weak because you say, Lord, where are you at? And you don't understand what he's doing, and you get afraid. And that's what's going here. Our fellowship with the Lord has to be developed in hard times, and we have to be able to see what God is doing. And oftentimes it's not until our eyes are open and the scriptures are open. Lord, speak to our hearts today. As we discuss the issue of our development of worship, development of our worship, our fellowship must happen because we have to know what you're doing. And when we don't know what you're doing, Lord, it's kind of hard for us to fellowship, and we have to walk by faith, which we should have been walking by faith all along. But oftentimes we recognize that we're not walking by faith at all. We're walking by sight. And when we don't see what we think we should see, our faith and our fellowship dwindles. Oh God, help us today to have our eyes open, have our understanding open by having the scriptures open. We might identify with these disciples and remain in fellowship with thee, even during the times of difficulty, even the times of distress, even the times of doubt and discouragement. Help us, Lord, as we're facing those times, just like these disciples, to be open to what you're doing in our lives. And I do pray that our fellowship then would increase, in the next moments as we take in the word of God, and may it sprinkle our hearts and our souls, we may be made alive. And today, perhaps there's a man, a woman, a boy, or girl without Jesus Christ, and they want fellowship with you, but they don't understand that they don't have fellowship with you. Help them to understand they need a relationship first. Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. They must be born again and save that man, woman, boy, or girl. Change us all into the image of Christ's likeness more and more. Make us what you would have us to be today. Bless in the moments that we have next in the word of God. Bless the song as well as it prepares our hearts. And help us when it's all said and done, Lord, to leave here differently than when we came in. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We do have a special. To see you. Amen. How can I help but sing your praise? Amen. If you know the Lord, that is a truism. Amen. But we have to be honest. Sometimes the difficulties of life come in and kind of we don't know how to sing sometimes. And things sometimes we forget our song that God has given us. Amen. And that's to be expected. That's why we have a Lord and a Savior and a forgiving God who knows us from the inside and the outside. Amen. Well, if you've been with us for any amount of time, you know that we're all along this year, we're talking about abiding in the ship. And there are many different ships that we have been talking about. Relationship is where we started off the year, saying that you've got to be born again to get in with the Lord Jesus Christ. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And went right into the stewardship from relationship. Once we know we're a child of God, then we should start giving to God a tithe, and we should start giving offerings to him and giving him our lives and our all that we have. And then we went right over to worship over on this side here. And we want to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Why? He deserves our worship, and he is worthy of our worship. Amen. From that ship, then we went into fellowship. And that's the ship that we're abiding in right now, abiding in the fellowship. You say, preacher, what is that all about? Well, I'm glad you asked. The definition of fellowship meant joint partnership or participation. A communion or communication or sharing together of interest. God does want a fellowship with you and I. Amen. Can you imagine the God that created the heavens and the earth wanting to fellowship with you and I? He who has no beginning, he who has no end, he who is omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient wants to fellowship with you and I. He wants to be in agreement with you and I. Can you imagine that? Amen. You say, well, if he wants to be in agreement, he just needs to agree with me. No, you're always wrong oftentimes, and he's always right. Amen. So if you're going to fellowship with him, you need to be in agreement with him and not him with you. Amen. Remember, all we like sheep have gone where? Astray. We have turned every man to his what? His own way. Amen. So he knows that we're strayers. Amen. And so he wants to have fellowship with us. We gave you the definition of fellowship out of 1 John chapter number 1. And then we talked about the description of fellowship. And we saw there was a literal fellowship that John the Apostle had with Jesus Christ. He physically touched him. He had contact with him. He had communication with him. You and I can't physically touch Jesus Christ, but we can see him spiritually through the word of God. We talked about literal fellowship to consider. But then there was a lateral fellowship. John said, all that we experience it to share it with you. Amen. By the way, when you as a child of God have something good from God, share it with somebody else. Amen. There is a literal fellowship, but a lateral fellowship as well. But then a lifting fellowship. He said, I'm telling you this, that your joy may be full. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about full of food. Amen. Some of y'all are probably hungry already saying, preacher, hurry up so I can get my lunch. Amen. We're not talking about being full of food. He said, I want your joy to be satisfied and to be complete. And by the way, when you have fellowship with the Lord, he satisfies. Amen. I know they've got these candy bars, Snickers, Satisfies, and these other things. Amen. None of that. You'll get hungry again. Amen. Jesus satisfies. And then he said there's a luminous fellowship as well to consider. God is light, and him is no darkness at all. And we understood that. Amen. So we had the description of fellowship, and then we had the definition of fellowship, and then the determination in our fellowship. And we talked about our walk matters in fellowship. He began to talk about if you're walking in darkness and you're not doing the truth, you're lying. Amen. That's just a matter of fact. Amen. As we said, there's some determination. We've got to walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, does what? Cleanses us of all sin. What did he say? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what? To forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. I can have the ability, but I must be determined to walk in the light as he's in the light. Amen. God is not going to step into darkness on your account. You know what he's going to do? He's going to stay in the light and draw you into the darkness. Here's a good thing to ponder. If he came into the darkness, how could you see him? And how could you know it was him? Amen. The devil is full of darkness, and he'll bring you into the darkness to deceive you, to bamboozle you, to get you off track. Amen. But God is light, and he stays in the light, and he attracts you out of the darkness into the light. If he were in the darkness, you couldn't see. Amen. Because the darkness to man is just like light. Sometimes you get so accustomed to it. Amen. I mean, you wake up at nighttime and you can see all around your bedroom, even though it's nighttime. Amen. You know why? You're used to the dark. Amen. And you know what's weird? We're still afraid of it. Even though you can see in it sometimes, amen? Now, I'll show you real fear. Go to a cave where there's no light at all. How many of y'all have gone to Pepper Sauce Cave over on the other side of town? Amen? One, Pepper Sauce. You go down there without any light, it's dark, isn't it? Now, that's real darkness. There is no light at all. I'm talking zero. You open your eyes and you know what you see? Black. I'm talking black, black, black. The black that when you close your eyes, that kind of black. That's what you see. Amen? Now, that's real darkness. Amen? But God is light, and him there is no darkness at all. And so it brings us to this next point, that now if we've got this determination in our fellowship, if we've got this description of fellowship and a definition, then there's got to be a development of our fellowship. How does our fellowship develop? What does God use to develop this thing, getting us out of the light, getting us out of the darkness into the light? How does he do this thing of agreement with his will and his word? How does he do it? And the disciples on the road to Emmaus are a good illustration of how he does it. Our eyes have to be opened. The scriptures have to be opened. And our understanding has to be open. Because God wants to have fellowship with you and I, even when it's hard. Even in the difficulties. You and I oftentimes, we give up on the determination. I'm so glad God never gives up on us. He never gives up on us. He's always calling us. And always beckoning us and always wooing us. There must be development of our fellowship. This is best demonstrated on the road to Emmaus after the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the text that you're reading here, Luke chapter 24, the crucifixion has happened already. Jesus has been crucified, buried, and he is risen again on the third day like he said he would. Amen. And they go to the tomb expecting to find him there. Guess what? If he's risen the third day, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to hang around a tomb. I'm going to get away from the tomb. I'm going to get far away from the tomb. I'm not going to be bound there anymore. The ladies come looking to anoint the body. He's not there. And the angels say, hey, look, he's not here. Why are you seeking the dead amongst the living? Amen. I mean, the living amongst the dead. And so they go out to get tell the disciples. They don't believe them. And then he appears to Peter goes in there and says, oh, it's just like they said. He goes back. They don't believe him. And then two disciples are on the road to Emmaus, and they're walking, and they're going from Jerusalem, and they're talking about what happened. And by the way, they're sad. Why? They haven't seen Jesus, and this is the third day. By the way, until the end of the third day, don't give up hope. Amen. If he said the third day, guess what he meant? The third day. And so that's where we pick the story up. Let's see how the development of their fellowship happens here, because you and I have to have our fellowship develop. This passage allows us to see the determination and development we must have as we grow through the disappointing times of life. Why? Things are not going to always appear the way you think they should. The plan is not going to always go the way you think it should go. It's not going to always end up the way you think it should end up. By the way, your job doesn't always end up the way you think it should go. It's never going to go exactly as you planned it. You're not going to get promoted when you think you are oftentimes, and you're not going to get this boss to like you or that person to like you in your job. Your school, you may not have the teacher that you like. It may not happen the way you want it to happen. And even in our own marriages, it's not going to always happen the way we envisioned it at the time when we stood at the altar and said, I do. There may be some disappointments along the way, some discouragements along the way. It may not turn out exactly the way we planned it or thought it should be. And that's where the disciples find themselves. This whole thing of following Jesus these last 3.5 years has not turned out the way we thought. It's a little disappointing as to what we thought it should be. And oftentimes your fellowship and my fellowship with God is going to fall into this category. And the fellowship with you is not going to be like it used to be. And you're going to start wondering what's going on. Why is it not happening the way I think it should? And by the way, God is never going to be on your schedule. You need to be on God's schedule. God is never going to be on your reasoning. Your reasoning can be faulty. The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You need to be on God's reasoning. And oftentimes, that's what happens when we fall into that category. When the going is good and decisions are easy, abiding in the fellowship with our Lord is easy. But in the discouragements of life, in the difficulties of life, in the doubts of life, in the disappointments of life, it's easy to think about abandoning the fellowship and saying, well, Lord, I'm not in agreement with you anymore. I don't like this ship. I'm abandoning ship. And let me just take my chances and jump in the sea of life and swim on my own. Tell me, you don't want to jump in the sea. The sharks of life will tear you apart. It's safe in the fellowship. It's safe being in agreement with God. You don't want to abandon ship. You don't want to jump ship. Preacher, you don't know my disappointments. I don't, but God does. Preacher, you don't know my discouragements. I don't, but God does. You don't know my doubts. I don't, but God does. You don't know my difficulties. I don't, but God does. And abide in the fellowship with him, amen. He didn't tell you to abide in my fellowship, amen. He said abide in his fellowship. And then if you're in his fellowship, you can have fellowship one with another, amen. And so we look at these guys here, and they're trying to figure things out. I want you to notice, first of all, fellowship development comes when our eyes are open. Notice verse 31 with me again in chapter 24. When our eyes are open. And their eyes were open and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. What had happened? They had beckoned him to go a little bit further on the road to Emmaus. And as he went in to abide with them, he began to break the bread and to act as the host of the table. And as that happened, they understood, this is Jesus. This is him. He's been with us this whole time on this walk. He's been here. By the way, Jesus has always been there. He will still be there. You know, we sing the song, Jesus will still be there. It matters not what happens in life. We can think he's gone. We can think there's no hope, but he is always there. Our eyes are just not open oftentimes to what he's doing. He says down there again in verse 31, their eyes were opened and they knew him and he vanished out of their sight. Fellowship development comes when our eyes are open through discouragement. Say, preacher, how do you know they were discouraged? Go down to verse number, or back up to verse 17. When Jesus first meets with them and he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? We will have sad, discouraging times too. They're walking. They're saying everything that we hoped for is gone. You have money in the stock market and you have plans for that money and the stock market crashes and you lose your money. You say, all the hopes that I had and that money, they're gone. You have plans for your children. They don't turn out the way you think they should. You say, all the hopes that I had for my children are gone, and you're sad.
Yeah, plans for your marriage, and the marriage doesn't work out. You say, all the plans that I have about marriage are gone, and I'm sad. God still knows what you're going through. He said, what are you talking about that you're so sad? By the way, we're going to have sad times. We're going to have, as sure as there's 24 hours in a day, you and I are going to have things that are going to be sad to us. Loved ones are going to die. People are going to leave us. We're going to get fired sometimes. We're going to get let go. They may not like our ideas. Our children may rebel against us. We may rebel against our children. Wives and husbands may have fights. Friends may break up. It's going to happen. We're going to have sadness. He said, what manner of communications are these that you have and are sad? Their eyes had to be opened through discouragement. You and I are going to go through these times. Let me ask you a question. When the circumstances make you sad, do you look at the sadness of the Savior? Oftentimes, if the truth be known, we look at the sadness. And we don't see the Savior. What am I saying here? Their eyes had to be opened through discouraging times. Not only that, eyes. Fellowship development comes when our eyes are opened through doubt. Notice verse number 21 as we go down there. He says, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Their fellowship development comes when our eyes are open through doubt. They are going to have these times of doubt. They're doubting. They said, we trusted that this was going to happen. And we trusted that this process was going to happen. I trusted my boss. I trusted my husband. I trusted my child. I trusted my wife. I trusted my husband. I trusted them. And it didn't happen the way I thought. Discouragement's going to come. Doubt's going to come. Things will not always go as we planned. And still, we have to abide in the fellowship. By the way, God is not abandoning the fellowship. He's still there. But he's walking with them, and they don't even know that's Jesus. The very one that can save them, the very one that can soothe them, the very one that can set them free. They're walking with him, and they don't know why. They're in discouragement, and now they're in doubt. We trusted that this had been he. Not only that, fellowship development comes when our eyes open through difficulties. Notice verse 23. When they found not his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive, and certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. They said they said they saw something. Others said he was alive, but they didn't see him. Is he really there? And these difficulties come in their mind. Can we really believe this? By the way, we read all the time, he will never leave us nor forsake us. But if the truth be known, sometimes we think he has forsaken us, if the truth be known. Preacher, I don't think like that. Yes, we do. Yeah. Yes, sir. God, did you really abandon me? Did you forget me? Did you forsake me? Do you not know the difficulties that I'm going through? Do you not know the discouragement that I'm going through? Do you not know the doubt that I'm facing? Lord, do you not know what I'm facing right here? Trust me. He knows. He knows. He knows. He just wants to develop our fellowship with him. He just wants us to reach out and know that our eyes just need to be open to him and what he's doing. He just wants us to see that it's not going to always be the way you think. It's not going to develop the way you think it should. It's not going to be the way you think it should be through difficulty, through discouragement, and through doubts. It's not going to be the way you think, but he is always who he is. And you and I can trust him. We can trust him. And so they're having this time of discouragement, this time of doubt, this time of difficulties. And so the development of our fellowship sometimes has to be when our eyes are open. Verse 31 again says, and their eyes were open and they knew him. Through your discouragement, through your doubt, through your difficulties, our Lord wants you to open your eyes and see that he's still there. Difficulties don't stop his presence. Doubt doesn't stop his presence. Discouragement doesn't stop his presence. He's still there. And he just wants us to open our eyes through this process so our fellowship can be developed more. But there's something else that I see here. There must be development of our fellowship. And it's developed when our eyes are open. But then the very next verse, our development comes when the scriptures are open. Notice verse number 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us? By the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures, they said, first of all, our eyes were open. We saw it was him. We understood it was him. And yes, we've got discouragement. Yes, we've got doubt. Yes, we've got difficulties, but it's him. He's still working, even though it doesn't make sense. But fellowship development comes when the scriptures are open. You take a look at the word of God and you'll find a character that is going through what you're going through. Say, preacher, I like Job. Me and him, we're buddies, amen. Trust me, you never went through what Job went through. Maybe similar. But Job lost everything all at once. All his children, all his wealth, all his health, all at once. And I'm sure you've never gone through that. It may feel like Job sometimes. I'm sure sometimes you feel like my brothers and sisters are against me. I feel like Joseph. They threw me in the pit. They kicked me to the curb. They threw me under the bus. I feel like Joseph. They've all abandoned me. I'm sure you feel like that sometimes. But Joseph was that way for about 17 years. And although you may feel like Joseph, you're probably not like Joseph. I know you probably feel like Moses sometimes. All these children, all these people in my job, like 40 years in the wilderness with screaming people, all these demands, and everybody wants something. Nobody's satisfied, always murmuring, always complaining. You may feel like Moses, but I trust that you have never been in charge of millions of people all complaining at the same time. About the same thing. You say, preacher, you don't know my children. Well, amen. I'm sure I don't. And I know 4 minutes can feel like 40 years of complaining and murmuring. And children, you will have your own children one of these days when you grow up, and you'll know what parents are talking about. And so fellowship development comes when the scriptures are open, verse 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? The scriptures are open so we can feel them, feel the heartburn of it. Sometimes our hearts will feel the burning of conviction when God tells us, hey, that's wrong in what you're doing, and your heart should burn about what you're doing. Sometimes it's not just conviction, it's convincing, hey, this is the way, walk ye in it. All the things that he told them were things about himself are going along the way. Notice down in verse 25, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He opened the scriptures. He said, look, your eyes need to be open and the scriptures need to be open. And he let them know, this is why this had to happen. This is why you don't need to be sad. This is why you don't need to be discouraged. This is why you don't need to fret and have difficulties. This is why you don't need to doubt. This was going to happen. By the way, in your life and in my life, the Bible still says, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So although you're in the fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to be rocky seas sometimes on the sea of life. It's not going to always go as you planned. My son, he had the privilege of watching the game on Friday night with LeBron James. It was not supposed to go as it went, according to what people said. Cleveland was supposed to win that game. Why? They won last year the same game and blew Golden State out. But guess what? It didn't happen the way they thought. And they got blown out. And everybody's discouraged now. And everybody's pointing fingers. It's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. And that's the way we get sometimes in the Christian life. Things don't go the way we plan and the way we think they should. And we just have the scriptures to be opened so we can see what God is doing. We need to feel the heartburn. The scriptures open so we can feel them. It says down there, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us, by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures. The scriptures can burn us with conviction. It can burn us with convincing. It can burn us other times to calm us and to comfort us, to let us know it's okay in my Father's house. You get ill, you can read David's Psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I feel no evil. Why? Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We can feel the comfort of the scriptures. We can feel the calm of the scriptures, casting all your cares upon him.
for he careth for you. So as they were developing in their fellowship, it came through the scriptures being opened up. The scriptures are open so we can feel them. Our hearts are burning. When you read the scriptures, it should burn in your hearts. Why? The Holy Spirit is there. And he's telling you what's right. And he's telling you what's wrong. And your heart should burn in this fellowship. Why? Because you recognize either your fellowship is not what it should be with God, or it can be a whole lot better than what it is. And our hearts can burn. They can be convinced. It can be calm. They can be comforted. But then scriptures open so we can feed on them. It says he talked with them. The prophet said, thy word was there, and I did eat it. Amen. We can feed on the word of God. He talked with them, amen, and gave them the word of God. They can feed on the word of God. Nothing worse, better than feasting on the word of God. Amen. I'm looking forward to Father's Day. I get my own menu. And I'm going to feed on the food that my wife is preparing for me. Now, if I was a Jew, I couldn't do this because I'm having clams and I'm having shrimp. If I was a Jew, I couldn't eat either one of those. But I'm having both of those. Amen. And I'm having some steak, Brother Hall. Porterhouse steak. I already gave my menu. And I'm having that pie, cherry pie. What do you call it? What kind of pie is that, honey? With the crumbs on it? Dutch cherry pie with the crumbs on it. And some of my kids don't like it, so I got more for myself. And I'm going to feed on that food. Here he talked with them, feeding them the word of God. The scriptures open so they can feel them, their hearts burn. But then the scriptures open so they can feed on them. He talked with them. Over in 1 John 1:3, John said this, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. He says, we heard it, and we want you to have fellowship with us. And so as we go through this development of our fellowship, God is going to develop our fellowship through the difficulties, through the discouragements, and through the doubts. Why? They're going to be there. They're going to happen. We're going to have sad times. We're going to have times when things don't make sense. And he wants to develop our fellowship as our eyes are open through discouragement. Our eyes are open through doubt. Our eyes are open through difficulties. He wants to develop our fellowship as the scriptures are open so we can feel them and feed on them. And then lastly, the scriptures are open so that we can have faith from them. Notice what he says down there in that verse. He says, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? The scriptures are open so that we can have faith for them. The Bible still says, so then faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by what? Word of God. Word of God. So I can hear the word of God. The last verse we're going to talk about this morning, not just verse 31, their eyes were open, not just verse 32. The scriptures were open. Verse 45, their understanding is open. Luke 24 and 45, notice what he says here. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. See, first their eyes had to be opened. Then the scriptures were open in verse 32. And then lastly, verse 45, their understanding. They needed the scriptures to make sense to them so that they could actually apply it to what happened to Jesus Christ and what's happening to them. If the scriptures don't make sense to you and I, we can't apply them to our lives. No more than you can go to your job and try to apply instructions to your workplace than you can apply the Word of God to your life. By the way, the Word of God is a living book. It's an instruction book to help you live your life for the glory of God. In fellowship, even through difficulties, discouragements, and doubts, so that you can feel the scriptures, so that you can feed on the scriptures. The eyes have to be open, the scriptures have to be open, then the understanding. Notice verse 44. He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses. What was that? The scriptures that they had. And in the prophets, what was that? The scriptures that they had. And in the Psalms, what were that? The scriptures that they had concerning me. then open he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. The Holy Spirit's job is to help you and I understand the scriptures. Without the Holy Spirit, you can't understand the scriptures. I'll go one step further. If you're in darkness, you can't understand the scriptures. To many people, this book is a closed book if you're in darkness. The only thing that you'll understand is John 16. When he has come, he'll reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That's the only thing that you'll get, is that there is a real destiny called hell. And there's a real place that he will put you in if you're convicted and found guilty of sin, because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us fall guilty. And so if we're walking in darkness, we won't be able to understand the scriptures. The only thing that we'll understand is, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so fellowship development comes when our understanding is open. He opened up their understanding to overcome the obstacles that they had with their fellowship, to overcome the sadness that they had, to overcome the discouragement and the doubt and the difficulties that they had. How did he do it? By letting them feel the heartburn of the scriptures, by letting them feed on the scriptures. He talked with them, and then their understanding was finally open to the ultimate will of God, that they might understand. If you don't understand anything else today, I want you to understand this. God loves you and he wants fellowship with you. He loves you and he wants fellowship with you. It's not going to always be easy. No more than it is for a husband and a wife to always have good fellowship. No more than it is for a child to always have good fellowship with his parents. No more than it is for you to have fellowship with everybody that you work with at your job. No more than it is to have good fellowship with everybody that you go to school with. No more than this to have fellowship with everybody else. Your fellowship with Almighty God is not going to be easy all the time. But guess what? It is possible. It is possible through the Spirit of God. Our eyes have to be open. The scriptures have to be open. And then our understanding has to be open. And you'll find the difficulties get a little easier. You'll find that the doubts get a little bit more believable. You find that the discouragement becomes a little bit more encouraging. You find that the heartburn begins to actually cure you. You find that the feeding that you get actually begins to nourish you. And you'll find that the understanding becomes a lot clearer at the end of the day. What did he say down there? Verse 46. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. He said, all that you guys are going through, all that you're thinking, all of this, he said, don't worry about it. This all happened according to plan. This was supposed to happen this way. By the way, let me give you a shocker. Your life right now is supposed to happen this way. It's supposed to happen this way by the sovereign will of God and by choices that you have made. It's supposed to happen this way. And God wants to develop you through this process. He never said it was going to be easy, but he just said it's possible. And so everything that you're facing right now, everything that these disciples were facing, it all happened by design. There's no coincidence that Jesus wasn't there when the ladies came. There was no coincidence that Jesus wasn't there when Peter came. There was no coincidence that the disciples met Jesus on the road to Emmaus. It all happened by design. And your life is happening by God's design, the good and the bad. Well, preacher, I wouldn't have designed it this way. I wouldn't have designed mine this way either. But guess what? I'm not God. And your fellowship and my fellowship with God can be possible. And it can be sweet. And our joy can remain. Is fellowship easy? Not always. The more we know of the Lord, the more we can grow to be like him. We have to ask ourselves, are we in the fellowship or have we jumped ship? Or are we thinking about abandoning ship? Fellowship is not going to always be easy, but it always will be possible. Let me encourage you. Before you can get into that ship, the fellowship, you've got to be in the relationship. Uh-oh.
lost my track again. Relationship. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you died right now, are you sure heaven is your home? Have you been born again? The Bible is clear, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Let me encourage you. Fellowship will never be what it can be unless you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, a personal relationship. We love him because he first loved us. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? If you do, then fellowship is possible, even through the difficulties, through the doubts, through all the decisions you have to make, and through everything that could possibly shipwreck it. It is possible. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and we're looking around. Father, thank you for allowing us to see the disciples on the road to Emmaus, having their eyes open, but then having the scriptures open, feeling a heartburn and feeding on them. But then, Lord, having their understanding open. And Lord, that's what we desire, is to have our understanding open, that, Lord, you may speak to us. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for giving us direction and giving us guidance. And Lord, thank you that you've shown us through all of these things that the disciples went through, fellowship is possible for us. May not always be easy, but Lord, we know it's possible, and thank you for being a great God and a Savior. And Lord, I do pray for these that are here today. And none of us will leave the same way that we came in. We'll understand that fellowship is possible. And then for others, maybe they will understand that you want a relationship with them and they must be born again. Bless now this invitation in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one looking around. How many will say, preacher, I'm in a relationship with Jesus Christ. I know that I have asked him to save my soul and forgive me of my sin so that I don't go to hell. And I know heaven is my home. I've made that decision. I've trusted him. I know that. Just a raising of a hand showing I've trusted Christ as Savior. I know I'm saved. I know I'm born again. No doubt in my mind, it's a done deal. Amen. Amen. Hands going up all over. You may put them down. How many would say next, preacher, I know I'm saved. I know I'm born again. If I died, I know I'm going to heaven, but my fellowship is not as good as it could be. I've got those difficulties going on, the discouragements, the doubts, and I've got those sad times, and I want my fellowship to be a little sweeter. Can you pray for me that I can have that sweeter fellowship? And you raise your hand. Preacher, pray for me. I need a sweeter fellowship with the Lord. Amen. If we're be honest, all of us should be raising our hands. A fellowship could always be sweeter. Amen. You may put them down. In just a minute, we're going to give an invitation. If you're not sure that heaven is your home, if you're not sure that you're born again, why don't you come and let us take a Bible, show you how you can be saved. If you desire your fellowship to be a little sweeter with the Lord through discouragement, doubt, and difficulties and sad times, why don't you come down to an old-fashioned altar, say, Lord, help me. Restore the joy of thy salvation unto me. Lord, help me to grow and learn about you more. I don't want to be walking down the road of life and being sad like the disciples. I don't want to have this doubt and this discouragement of not seeing you. I want my eyes open. I want my heart to burn because I know your scriptures have been open. And I want my understanding to be open. Maybe you need to come and pray something like that. Father, bless now these next moments of invitation. Help each person to know what they need to do according to the will of God. And if there is one here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and they're concerned, help them to come and get it settled today in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. No one looking around. As Natasha plays the hymn of invitation, talking about development of fellowship. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar. Say, Lord, improve my fellowship. Develop me more. Help me to have my eyes open through discouragement, through doubt, through difficulties. Maybe you need to say, Lord, help me to have the scriptures open more so that I can feel them. My heart can burn so I can feed on them. Maybe you need to say, preacher, I need to have that faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Maybe you say, preacher, I need to have my understanding open. No, I just need God to open my understanding a little bit more. I need him to show me through the difficulties I'm facing, through the discouragement, It's not going well at my job. It's not going well at home. It's not going well with my children. It's not going well with my parents. It's not going well with things in my life right now. My health is not as great as it could be. My fellowship is not as great and it's affected. My finances aren't as great and it's affecting my fellowship. My job is not as great as it could be. It's affecting my fellowship. My friendships, not as great as they could be. It's affecting my fellowship. My marriage, not as great as it could be. It's affecting my fellowship. My relationship with you, Lord, is not what it should be. It's affecting my fellowship. If you're here without Jesus Christ, let us come and take a Bible. Show you how you can be saved today. You know that heaven is your home. Any doubts in your mind, you don't want to leave here with a doubt. John said, and this is the record, God has given to us eternal life. This life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. He said, these things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Do you have that today? If not, let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Have eternal life, have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to want, it's better to have. Fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Will we have difficulties? Yes, we will. Will we have discouragements? Yes, we will. Will we have doubts? Yes, we will. But can we have deliverance? Yes, we can. Jesus said, if you should know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth shall make you free, you should be free indeed. You have the truth of God's word. How about you today? How's your fellowship? How's your walk with Christ? Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the disciples here that show us that although we're walking with you in fellowship, sometimes we don't have the eyes open through discouragement and doubt and difficulties. Sometimes though we're walking with you on the road, we don't have the scriptures open. We can't feel the heartburn. We can't feed on them the way we ought to. Then, Lord, sometimes we just need our understanding open. We need to get along with you. We need to hear you speak to us personally by the Spirit of God. Oh, Lord, we know fellowship is not easy for us being humans. Lord, thank you that you make it easier for us by the Spirit of God. And by never losing grip of us, never losing sight of us. Thank you that your grip, your hand is on us to hold us through any difficulties, any doubts, any discouragements. Lord, you desire to open our eyes. You desire to open the scriptures. You desire to open our understanding. Lord, help us to leave here today a little bit more open to the will and the word and the work of God in our lives. That, Lord, you will do with us and through us what you desire. Lord, if there's a man, a woman, or a boy or girl here that does not know Jesus Christ as Savior, help them not to leave until they get those questions settled and they are born again before it's everlasting too late. And Lord, work in our hearts. Bring us back tonight to hear our missionary, Brother Comstock, and pray it might be a blessing to hear what you're doing to the saints in New Zealand. And we'll thank you for what you've done and what you continue to do as we abide in the fellowship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.